The thing that differentiates the Army Reserve is the opportunity for the types of assignments that you can get. So when you hear in the news the discussion about exclusion from certain combat roles, the Army Reserve is, by design, a force structure that mostly has combat service support type of organization in them, and they're not closed to women. So we simply have numerically more opportunities that are open to women without the particular barriers. Because of that, our force is comprised of 23% women when you look across the demographics of the Army Reserve. So I think that probably each of our components are as welcoming to young women, but the uniqueness of the Army Reserve is that, no, for real, we do have more opportunities in terms of that there are not the types of units that are associated with combat that are closed currently in some of our structures.
You've become a role model for both women who aspire to join the military and are in the military, and also for people who are gay and want to have military careers. Tell me a little bit about how you see your role when it comes to getting diversity in the ranks.
Yeah, first I'll just say that for me, for the past 28 years, it has been an absolute privilege to serve, to be able to wear this uniform of the nation and to be a part of something that is bigger than me in both the Army and the Army Reserve. When I think about that as a role model, what I think about with role models is that people kind of gravitate towards those things that they connect with. And so being a leader, as I said, is a privilege, and I'm glad that for young women, they can see somebody who, after 28 years, has navigated through a system of an organization designed mostly by and for men and has achieved a level of success that they can aspire to. And in the past few years, with the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, where I've had the opportunity to simply be authentic about who I am and who my family is, I hope that I've opened up a path also for people who might not have considered the military as a place for them. I hope that I have demonstrated through my being authentic myself that it is an inclusive organization where people are allowed to bring their best selves to work. They can work as hard as they want here in the military, and it's a place where they also can thrive.
What is the balance between people who are reaching out to you, perhaps people who are gay who haven't previously thought of joining the military, and you as the Army Reserve reaching out to people in diverse parts of the country and representing diverse types of people?
Well, that conversation goes both ways. On the reaching into me, I hear from people quite often from within the force, but actually, the people that I hear a lot from in terms of about whether or not somebody who is gay or lesbian should join the military is I hear from a lot of parents, and I hear from a lot of family members who want to know, because everybody, of course, wants what is best for their child. And so I've had the opportunity to speak with a lot of families, sometimes coming into the military, coming into the Army Reserve is a family decision as much as an individual decision. And I've been able to convey what are our service values about inclusion and diversity in parts of those conversations.
What do you tell them?
Well, what I tell them is about my story. And I talk about how I have made that transition from a life where I had to be completely secretive about who I was, that I could not reveal my true self to anyone, to now an Army where my family identity is simply my family identity. I'm married, my wife is Tracy, and that is our military family. And I try to tell and demonstrate to these families that my experience has been a positive one. And at the end of the day, what our military wants are those people who are dedicated to the nation, that bring values into the service and want to work hard for a better nation. And if that's what you're bringing to the table, your family composition becomes second to those other things.
What would you say are the biggest barriers or challenges that you've had to overcome thus far in your career? And we should say that your career spans three decades, so we know that's a while.
Yeah, I guess a couple of the barriers that I've had to overcome, I think that your question right there, is that I'm from this small town in Oakland, Oregon, and I went to a small high school, and I wasn't really prepared for the transition into college and what essentially would be coming into the military through an ROTC scholarship. So just initially, one of the barriers I had to overcome was that, frankly, I wasn't a very good college student. But what I learned from that, and this has been a common theme for me throughout my service in the military, is that preparedness and capability are two different things. What I didn't really understand initially when I struggled in school and with ROTC was that I was capable. I mean, I had the values, I had the skills, but I was unprepared academically and with some of my background. And so what I try and convey to audiences of young leaders is that just because you're unprepared doesn't mean you're not capable. And to put into place some rigor behind their homework and some of the other things that they do so that they can match their preparedness with their capability.
We're speaking with Brigadier General Tammy Smith. She's Deputy Chief of Staff of the Army Reserve. Have you had any mentors? Have you been a mentor? Has it been a big part of your career?
There is a whole body of work that goes behind the importance of mentorship in terms of individual development, improving your leader skills, and navigating through your life and what is your workplace. And I got the question about my own mentors during a speaking engagement, and it really caused me to think that up until recently, I had never had a mentor. And there were people who I admired and I aspired to be like, and I would pick positive behaviors, leader behaviors that I wanted to role model. And I can name some people who I said, I want to be like that. I want to have that patience. I want to have that confidence. I want to be able to do those things. But I never had a role model or a mentor, or an actual mentor myself until recently. And the reason for that is that because of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, I had to hide essentially who I was. And my inability to be authentic with a mentor caused me to not seek out somebody to have the type of personal, real conversations that you're supposed to have with a mentor. Now that my job is not in jeopardy because that I have a wife instead of a husband, I am free to have those sort of mentor relationships. And so when I think about what that means in terms of experience, I hope that our young people are not holding themselves back with something in their life that they feel like they cannot share, that they also see that there is opportunity for them to have their own authentic life, and they will be able to tap into the strength of a mentor earlier than I felt I had the opportunity to in my situation.
But you have a mentor now, which some people might think is surprising because you're so senior.
Well, you know, regardless of how senior you are, you still have blind spots. And as you move through what is, in our case, it's a vertical career from direct leadership into now strategic or indirect leadership, at each of those levels, you take the skills that you acquired into that next level, but the environment gives you new challenges that you didn't previously experience at the other level. So the mentor that I sought out and asked if she would be my mentor is somebody who was very senior in a corporate environment. She helps see blind spots in terms of what my leadership should be, and really important and has been really revealing for me in terms of it revealing my blind spots is that she offers advice on my own development opportunities that I would never have thought of on my own. And so it's really been a positive experience to have this mentor relationship, even though it has come later in my career.
You're speaking this week with the George Washington University's Women's Leadership Program. What is your message to the people who come to hear you?
Well, I want to give them a couple of things, just as kind of my top line takeaways. One of them is that don't live within the limits of a stereotype that's been placed upon you. Now, I've had the stereotype of what it means perhaps to be a woman leader, what it means to be somebody who is part of the LGBT community, and I have not let those stereotypes limit me. I aspired to be the best leader I could in the environments that I were in, and I didn't allow myself to be limited. I think the other thing that I always like to convey to an audience, especially to young people, is kind of also to trust your equipment. Kind of going back to that capability versus preparedness is that when you know who you are, when you have a solid understanding of what your values are and you know what you bring to the table, you can take those values, you can take those skills to any environment and you will be able to thrive. So don't question yourself. Trust the equipment that you bring to the table.